Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with a wonderful author. I'm speaking to him from down under. Well, he's speaking to us from down under, I should say, and has written a wonderful book, and it is an important book, especially coming up on our 100th anniversary of the success of the women's suffrage movement. And Clara Colby is one of those folks, a heroic figure in history and international, right? You know, certainly Great Britain and here and everywhere else, she has made an impact. It's important to remember her. She was a writer, a journalist, a publisher. And if I remember correctly, she purchased a newspaper, and really it strengthened her voice for the movement.
She started the newspaper.
Yeah, and again, her name is Clara Colby. His name is John Holliday, and I'm thrilled to have him. He is the author of The International Suffragist. And John, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Frank.
Well,
good day to your listeners.
Yeah, well, listen, tell us the origin of your interest in the women's suffrage movement. And I'll tell you, it's something that I think is as relevant today as it was, 100 years ago. We take it for granted, but there were these women who clearly wouldn't say no, and Clara Colby was one of them.
Yes, yes, quite. Well, you'd like to know a little bit about how I got interested in this?
Please.
I was born in England. I've spent most of my life in Australia, but I did spend 10 years in Canada, so I've lived around the world a little bit, but mostly I was involved as an entrepreneur in businesses in the IT world. I never became a Bill Gates. I never made it that successful, but I had an interesting life. And the last business I sold, I had some free time on my hands, and I decided to write a little memoir of my business life. And I so enjoyed that, but my life is not a bestseller for sure. But during that time, I found out that I had an ancestor who had become a famous missionary to China. And I first heard about him before he could go into China. This was in the early 19th century, about 1840. He was living in what is now Jakarta. It was then the Dutch East Indies. And he'd started a church up there and an orphanage. And we went up there and got to meet the directors of this orphanage, and I became so wrapped in his story that I decided to write a book about his life. And I don't want to, that's not the book I'm talking about, because that ended up being called Mission to China. And he was actually my great-great-grandfather, and the book was published by an English publisher, and it went around the world, and it was then picked up by a Chinese publisher in Taiwan. So that book was quite successful for a newcomer to writing. But the interesting thing was, the guy I was writing about, his sister's granddaughter was born in England, but left England for America and became the suffragist that I'm writing about now. And as soon as I found out about her, I decided that must be my next book. So I got to it through a bit of a trail of, there was another story behind it kind of thing. And it's been a wonderful experience learning about Clara's life, which was such an eventful and wonderful, exciting life with some tragedy thrown in. It was, anybody who reads the book will find out for sure. But she was a wonderful woman, and she achieved so much. And I spent a bit of time 2 years ago in Madison, Wisconsin, where all her records are kept. And that's really the start of it. That's how I got involved.
let me remind folks that are just tuning in that they're listening to John Holliday's wonderful author, and we just heard about Mission to China, which really set the stage for where he is now, and we're talking about Clara Colby, a heroic figure in American history and in international history, really. But, I mean, she is one of the key components that that set up for the woman's suffrage success, and we're coming up on 100 the 100th anniversary of the fruits of those success, and we see them every day. And the name of the book is The International Suffrage Suffragist. Give me the correct title so I don't blow it on you.
It's Clara Colby, her name, and the subtitle is The International Suffragist.
Yeah. Okay. So I had it memorized, right? But let me ask you this, and I think this is important because you've now made it much easier for people to understand who Colby is and was, and her importance. How hard was it for you to find out information on her? Was it a complicated process?
Not really. I mean, it was very time consuming, but I thought initially I would have to spend a lot of time in America, going to lots of different places. She traveled from coast to coast. She was involved. She lived in Washington. She lived in Madison, Wisconsin. She lived in Nebraska and in Oregon. And I thought, oh, her records, if there are any, or what I've got to learn about her, are all over the place. But then I called the librarian in Beatrice, Nebraska. In fact, Clara Colby started that library back in 1875. Anyway, the librarian there said, oh, no, we have no records here. They've all been collected into the Wisconsin Historical Archives in Madison. And I thought, bingo, that's it. I've got one place to go to. Everything has been collected there. And that was a great advantage. But on top of that, today's research for a biographer is made extremely easy by the internet. And there are enormous numbers of files around the world that are accessible online. And I found, for example, she published the Woman's Tribune, which was the leading newspaper of the women's movement in the day. And she published that for 26 years. Now that newspaper, every single copy I could access through a database in, of all places, Holland. So, you know, it's you spend a bit of time, but you can find a lot of information online.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's important work. It's wonderful work. Give us an overview of Clara Colby. And, of course, we want people to buy the book. Give us as much as you can about her in a summary form where people can understand what she was about.
Okay. She was born in England, and her father was he worked on the railroads at that time, and he figured he had a good opportunity in America to go there and get involved because the railroads were being spread across America. So he and his family packed up and boarded a ship in Bristol and were heading off to America. And the captain of the ship took one look at Clara, who was 3 years old, and said, I'm not taking her. We don't know why, but we think she was showing symptoms of cholera. Oh. And there was a bit of an epidemic of cholera in the UK at that time. So she had to be left at home. She was left with her grandmother. Now, her grandmother lived in London. So she went to live in London, and her grandparents were an extremely powerful influence on this young girl. And she got well educated there. She was almost brought up in an environment that was above average, if you might say that, with lots of educational experiences in her young life. But when she was 9 years old, she and the grandparents both moved out to America to join their family, who had become pioneer farmers in Wisconsin. And so she went from one extreme to another, from this privileged upbringing in London to joining a pioneer farmer and the struggles that they had in building life out there. And that I've been able to, I think I've brought that forward in the book. But this sudden change had an influence on her life. Her grandparents stayed out with her in Wisconsin, and she shone there. She was taken on in the first class of women at the University of Wisconsin. She became the valedictorian in her class, and then they hired her to be a lecturer at the university. So she was very talented. There she met her husband-to-be, who was a former Civil War soldier, and he was a very dashing fellow in the cadet force of the university, she fell in love with him, and at the time you'd say this was beautiful, but I think it became one of the big mistakes of her life. But anyway, the readers can make up their own mind. But then when they both graduated from there, or he graduated after her, she'd already been lecturing there, they decided to move west to Nebraska, where he set up a law firm, and he became quite a successful lawyer, and he became involved in the Nebraska National Guard, and he rose to the level of general. It was there that she first got involved in the woman suffrage movement. She met Susan B. Anthony, who came out to Nebraska on a tour, and they hit it off very well. And in fact, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton became like Clara's mentors, and they saw something better in her. And they said that she was the finest writer they had in the women's movement. Anyway, she went on a tour to Boston and Washington, speaking for the movement. And from then on, she spent the rest of her life dedicated to that movement. And it involved her living in Washington for many years. Later on, she went and supported the British suffragettes in England. So that was really the start of her life as a suffragist. And I think out of all the ones that I've learned about, she's probably the one who's provided more loyalty to the women's suffrage movement than anybody else that I can think of. And she's kind of got overlooked in a way, because she died 4 years before women won the vote. She never saw the victory of getting the 19th Amendment signed. And so that's a little bit of the sadness at the end of the book. And I shouldn't give away the end of the book, but I have done now.
No, well, listen, please don't. Frank McKay here, much more importantly, John Holliday is the author of the wonderful book, Clara Colby, the International Suffragist. And it is a must-buy. Everyone must get it. Get it for you, and get a second one for someone who's interested in history, because this is a big part of it, and the woman suffrage movement is just amazing. And of course, you hear so much about Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and justifiably, I mean, these are leaders. These were leaders in America at a time where they needed it. But let's not forget about Clara Colby. And again, Frank McKay here with John Holliday. The interesting thing there, well, all of that's interesting to me, but it was her writing, specifically her writing, that attracted these two women that became mentors to her. So it was, and again, you need writers in a movement. We needed writers in Jefferson and Thomas Paine in the American Revolution. She was the equivalent to that for the woman suffrage movement, if you think about it.
Yes.
She was their writer. She was one of their writers. I know there were other writers, but she was She was attracted to the leaders were attracted to her because of her ability to write.
Yes, and to speak. She was regarded as one of the best speakers, and she was used on numerous times to make the presentation for the movement at congressional hearings to try and get the change in the in legislation so that women could win the vote.
You see, I mean, that's important when you break down the nuts and bolts of any kind of movement. And here, of course, we have all types of movements going, you know, for further civil rights and reform and law enforcement reform going on as we speak here. And they're searching for their leaders, their spokespeople. And it's much different now. There's a much larger need because there's so many different outlets. But back then, if you found a talent, you made sure that you utilized that talent for the net gain of the movement. And she was a very valuable piece of, I was going to say manpower, that's the inappropriate term, woman power, right? And it's amazing. And the saddest thing is that she didn't get to see the 19th Amendment put into effect. But did she know it was coming?
Yes.
Did she have a good sense that it was a done deal?
Oh, yes. By the time, towards the end of her life, she had achieved success in many of the states, because each state had its own laws about voting, and they had to win over every state across the union to... And ultimately it went to the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. But she would often say to, on her presentations to before congressional committees, well, she would ask the question, are women people? And the reason she said that, because in the Constitution, as it is written now, you say that the president and the senators shall be elected by a vote of the people. And you're not allowing us to vote. So it's, and of course it was, I think it was a lot of probably behind the scenes problems with states' rights and that type of thing, that the federal government probably wouldn't put their foot down and say, yes, it's all people can vote, and enforce that without this amendment, which will be signed by every or the majority of states in the union. So it was a very difficult task for them to achieve, you know, and it's amazing how they did achieve it. When I compare it to what happened in the UK, for example, where there was only one national government that made that decision, it was extremely difficult in the United States. But and she could see that coming on, because she'd swung over a lot of the states, and the president at the time was... in his home state of New Jersey, was in favor of women's suffrage. So it was almost there, but she never actually got to see the final success, which is very sad.
Yeah, no doubt. But John Holliday is the voice that you hear, and we got him for a couple moments more. The name of the book, which is a must-get, Clara Colby, The International Suffragist, is the name of the book, and please get it. Frank McKay here with John Holliday. You mentioned President Wilson, and he was in favor of it. Edith Wilson, many people would argue,
yes,
was acting president while he was incapacitated, while President Wilson was incapacitated and couldn't react. And many people feel that she was, she was running the show through her own doing and through the advisors. And she was a very capable woman. Edith Wilson, and the fact that that she knew and Clara,
yes,
knew, very good point. You know that Wilson was there, and more importantly, I think Edith was a very strong proponent, and she was going to make sure this happened. Again, in closing, the book. Where's the best place to get the book? And give us a website.
It can be purchased at most bookshops, but also online, Amazon and outlets like that. So it's widely available. If anybody has any problems, they can go to my website, which is Talai Books, T-A-L-L-A-I books.com. And they'll find it. If they search for the book anywhere, they'll be able to find it.
Well, we have about a minute left with John Holliday. John, if there's anything that you'd like to bring up that we haven't touched on, please, we have a minute.
Okay. I guess probably I should express that I'm trying to give Clara Colby the recognition that I think she deserves. I do believe that she was overlooked through no fault of her own. She was divorced in her later life. And at that time, there was quite a prejudice against anybody who'd been divorced, and some of her colleagues turned their nose up at her for that reason. She also had had imposed upon her the adoption of a Native American child, an Indian that her husband had discovered under the dead mother at the massacre at Wounded Knee.
A Sioux baby, if I remember correctly. She was a Sioux Indian.
Yes. That also lent a bit of prejudice against Clara. And after she had a divorce, she was never asked to speak at the suffragist annual meeting again. And previous to that, she'd spoken every year. So there was some prejudice there, which is unfortunate, really. I think we've grown out of a lot of that, but it was particularly prevalent at that time.
Well, that we definitely have grown out of. Shame on them for punishing her. You know, you're talking about a pioneer in every sense of the word, from a woman's standpoint, even on the subject of divorce.
Yeah.
The fact that she would stand up for herself and deal with divorce and leave an unhappy marriage is just wonderful. And kudos to her. Real heroic figure in my book, and certainly in your book, which is called Clara Colby,
yes,
the International Suffragist. And John Holliday, I want to thank you very much for being here. Congratulations on your wonderful work.
Well, thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me on your radio show.
And to everyone out there, thank you very much for tuning in, and a very important figure. Please buy this book. Clara Colby, the International Suffragist, is the name of it. John Holliday has been here with us from Australia. And get the book. We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of this wonderful success in American history, and we take it for granted because we think really women weren't able to vote. It just sounds so silly to us now, but the idea that there was a movement that made this possible is so important to remember. Clara Colby, the International Suffragist, is the name of the book. Please get it. Frank McKay signing off. John Holliday has been our very special guest. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.